fertilized with human waste.
Oh, I see.
And you can't eat it.
I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah, well, would you go into town? Did you buy souvenirs?
Or? I never did. A lot of people did.
Now, when you were over there, did you receive mail from home?
Oh, yeah. Got some.
And you would write letters home?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not very often. Couldn't get home maybe in 2 or 4 months time. So that's why it didn't bother me like it did some of them.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other men, the other sergeants that were with you, were they older or younger, about the same age?
Most of them were younger than me.
Okay. And do you know why you became a sergeant?
Just so, what I already knew without having to go. I never did even go to an Army school. Ordinarily you have to go to them Army schools to be a motor sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
I already worked that stuff so much that I didn't even have to go to school on it.
Okay. Did you work on your trucks or what?
We had a shop of our own, big shop.
And there were certain mechanics.
Yeah, and they were Americans. Well, not all. Now in Karachi, I had as many Indian mechanics as I did American, and I had as many Indian drivers as I had Americans.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And they knew English?
Oh, yeah. Karachi, India was the headquarters of the British Army for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
So in the process of soldiers, English soldiers being in India, their tour of duty was 6 years.
Oh, okay.
So they'd marry the prettiest one they could find.
Mm-hmm.
And then Karachi was a town of mainly what they called Anglo-English.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, of course, they had a lot of support there, too.
Yeah.
They had one street down through town that the poor couldn't cross. They had to stay on their own side of town. The others could go anywhere they wanted to, but the poor couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little ways from our camp was the biggest leper camp in Europe, and over there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Catholic Church ran it.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to one of the sisters one day, and she said that she really thought that, and it turned out that way. She said if anybody but poor people had it, they would find a cure.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said a couple can have a baby and the baby don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't a blood disease, because mm-hmm. if they take the baby away when it was born,
it doesn't get it.
It doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. Now they can come near curing it in a can of bad cold.
Mm-hmm.
Isolate them. Used to isolate them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They, here in the United States, don't even isolate them for
mm-hmm. What were you thinking? You were here. I mean, you were in a different part of the world, and all of these things were new and different for you. What did you think about?
Well, I just take it in stride.
Okay.
I was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, it never bothered me.
What kind of trucks were they?
They were regular Army trucks. See, they what they do, they leave a give a contract for a certain type of truck.
Mm-hmm.
They all had that same look, you know, the Army look. Well, the Army had mainly GMCs in that 6x6. So it means six-wheel drive. You know. The Marines, I think, had Internationals, I'm pretty sure. And one other bunch had Studebaker trucks.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually the same truck. They just let it. Each outfit built so many of them, but
okay. It,
like a Jeep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were actually, some of them said Ford and some say Willys and all that. Every part interchanged on them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they would just let contracts out?
Yeah,
to
they had certain specifications.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever built it had to build it to that specification.
Were they good trucks?
Oh, they were good.
Mm-hmm. And did they have a covered bed on them?
Well, yeah, we had we had lots of different types of beds on them. We even had machine shops in them, some of them. And we had a bunch of them that, where I was at, in Karachi, had a bed on them about as big as our farm trucks, only They were 14 feet long, and they had kind of like a stock rack up. Well, he had a solid for a ways, and then a few left, and a little higher. Mm-hmm. Then this one piece is made to flop down as a bench, the full length of them.
Oh, and so you could haul troops? Mm-hmm. And you said in some of them you had a machine shop?
We had lathes and welding equipment, and some of them. And some of them, on my bunch there at Karachi, I had two kitchen trucks. And we'd follow the kitchen trucks would take, stay. It would be there, leave there after the convoy would get up there. They would be already there. The trucks would be, the kitchen, mm-hmm. and meals prepared. And then when they'd get through feeding, they'd take off, and then we'd wait a while to take off, and they'd get to the next spot.
And the food that they were fixing you was food that had come in on the ships.
Yeah, we hauled that around along with us. It'd come off of the ship. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of food would it be?
Just like you do here.
Okay.
Canned stuff. And mm-hmm. One spot we was over there in Bougie, they run into trouble with. They didn't have any markings on the gallon cans and stuff, and so they had to open them to see what. The boxes would disintegrate and they was underwater, you know.
Uh-huh.
Didn't hurt the food.
Uh-huh.
But they'd have to take pans down to the docks and he'd open them and pour it in them.
And you never knew what you were going to get. What kind of meat would you have? I mean,
we had all big ships come in there with refrigerated meat in them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'd have hamburgers and steaks and, mm-hmm. and then. We didn't ever eat any local meat, I know, in India, because most of that is sacred. They won't eat them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have, because you would have been in for holidays like Christmas or mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, did you have a special meal for them?
Yeah, they always had that. We had a special meal on that ship, Thanksgiving, and they sung it the next day. But it wasn't very good. It was canned chicken and canned biscuits.
Okay.
Did you ever eat any British food?
Uh-uh.
It's real bland. I mean, it's not got much flavor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. It was a British ship. But to their standard, we had a good meal.
Okay. So you actually didn't, you were carrying supplies, so you actually did not see or be engaged in fighting.
Well, I never was there, but where I wasn't in, I went, my worst place was Korea. I spent 2 years in Korea.
During the Korean War?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's finish World War II and then we'll get to that. Okay. So.
I came home in 45.
Okay, when the war ended,
mm-hmm.
you came home.
Yeah.
And then what did you do when you came home?
I went to work driving the truck.
Okay, driving the truck mm-hmm. again.
In the oil field, yeah.
Okay, but before we get to the Korean War, is there a specific incident or event or a specific person or something that made an impression on you that is a story during World War II that you tell?
No, I don't.
Other than the ship sinking?
Mm-mm. No, it was pretty. Most of the people get to it. This war might be different.
Mm-hmm.
But the average, there isn't a very big percentage of soldiers ever shoot at anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably less than 30% ever shoot at anybody.
You were support people.
It's support them few.
Mm-hmm. What would, did your feelings about the war and the war effort change?
Mm-mm.
No. It was just what you...
That's what it was, and that's accepted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the end of the war came.
And I came home and got out temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And they insisted that I join the reserve because my records weren't up to date.
Oh, so that's why you tried to get your records.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then so I ended up getting called. Well, they sent me a letter one day and said, would I consider being a recruiting sergeant for 6 months? And I threw that in away.
Mm-hmm.
The next one come down and said, would you consider being a recruiting sergeant for 6 months? And I threw that away. The next one said, you'll report for active duty with the 10th Infantry Headquarters for Fort Riley, Kansas.
So you should have been a recruiting sergeant.
Yeah, either one of the others have been better than what I had.
Okay, so when you recruited for, or when you reported for active duty, and yeah. What year was this?
It was in 50.
50, okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometime in 50.
Mm-hmm. And we were already over in Korea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what'd they say?
Well, they weren't doing much fighting yet.
Uh-huh.
Because we was over there.
48, wasn't it? 48 or 49?
No, they weren't fighting in 48 or 9.
But we were over there, weren't we?
When the war ended in Europe and Japan,
mm-hmm.
they had an armistice in the 38th parallel. Anything north of the 38th, Russians got it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything south of the 38th, we had it. And we had people there from the time the war was over. I don't guess there ever was a time we didn't have any some south of the 38th parallel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do any fighting.
Right.
They were just
guarding.
Just kind of like Germany and was when they draw the line through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then I forget, I think it was in the first, I think it was still in, I don't think it fought any until 50.
Okay.
They got in a fight.
Okay.
But we went up and down through there. And we had very poor command, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It was politics and a lot of it.
So did you, when you were told to report for active duty and then you were sent to the West Coast?
Well, no, they put me with another National Guard outfit.
Okay.
And they were from Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't had any training. So they assigned me with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over with them, and they shouldn't have never been there that way because they never had any service at all, only down along the Mississippi River around Vicksburg and New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and put them in the mountains over there. They wasn't worth nothing.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, were you driving a truck or?
Oh, I was a foreman. I was a sergeant first class, and I just drove a Jeep or rode a motorcycle.
Okay.
And that was kind of a bad deal. That whole outfit had never been trained for anything but waterways down in along the Mississippi.
So they didn't know how to march or anything?
Well, you didn't do no marching much in any war.
Okay.
You know, that's just garrison.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget when we went off of garrison duty, but I think it was sometime in the 40s or 41, I mean, when I first went in, they set tables in the barracks just like how, like, well, it was 10 to a table, mm-hmm. 5 on each side, and they ate out of regular china and silverware. And then I think sometime in, maybe it was Pearl Harbor, but probably when it came, we went to what they call field rations, and you had this mess kit and cup, and didn't have no, you just went through the line and got your meal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so over in Korea, you were in command of these people from mm-hmm. Mississippi.
No, I was the motor sergeant, and I was in charge of the motor pool, the big equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They ran the office, you know. The first sergeant was a Mississippian, and 90% of that bunch were, but them and I never did get along, but they turned him, going to demote me to a private.
Mm-hmm.
And 8th Army Headquarters was at Sewell. And they sent my papers in, and I seen the letter sent back to them. Said, you'd be easier to transfer him.
Because you didn't get along with?
Yeah, we didn't get along. They didn't get along with me, and I didn't get along with them.
Okay.
Because they didn't know any Army, and we had to run it like the Army.
Sure.
And they just run it like a, thought it'd be like an office, you know. And
mm-hmm.
It didn't do it that way.
And so you were transferred?
No, they give up on it.
Oh.
I won that one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Then I didn't even stay at the camp very much. I stayed out where the jobs were. Mm-hmm. And I had another, my next in command, I had him in charge of the motor pool, and I was out with the equipment. And I did that the rest of the army, the rest of the deal. I came home when he decided they didn't sign any treaties, you know, but mm-hmm. I forget what they called it, but they did quit firing at each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I come home in 52.
Okay. So you were over there about 2 years?
Yeah, right, at close to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know why, but I got out of the Army on my birthday in 52.
And how old were you then?
Let's see.
You were born in
15.
Oh. So you were?
I wasn't young.
No.
They all, and everywhere in Korea, they said, "Oh, Sergeant, you're too old to be over here." And I said, "I know it and you know it, but somebody didn't."
So earlier you had said that you thought the command wasn't good in...
They didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. They're smart enough guys on hydraulic and waterways and stuff, but they was in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know a thing about mountains.
Mm-hmm. What was it? What was the climate like?
It's not like ours.
Okay.
See, we're in the 30th something, mm-hmm. and that's what's 30th parallel goes through there.
So it got cold in the winter.
Oh yeah, it snowed and raised under.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another thing bad. We didn't ever have anything but summer wear.
Well, I was going to ask you if
we never had winter equipment. Hmm. We even had a summer sleeping bag.
Well, and then you got cold.
Oh yeah. When I left over there, I had to leave everything I had but what I had on. Mm-hmm. Your shoes and your pants and underwear and that. You had that, whatever you had on, that's what we shipped out on.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got any more close till we got to Fort Lewis, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine riding a ship for about 5 days,
mm-hmm.
same clothes.
Well, so why did you have to leave everything?
So they could wash them and give them to the people that's there. There was that much clothing shortage in there.
Oh.
Yeah, they reissued them.
Hmm. Okay. So as a in your duties, were you armed when you were?
Oh yeah, I was armed all the time. And I was in close enough to front all the time. I was around where they fighting all the time in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stay so close to the line front, you don't have to pay for any PX stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was always close enough, I didn't pay nothing.
Okay.
But what happened, I thought probably that would be a good thing for me because I got on heavy equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But come to find out, the combat engineer's equipment was too little and they couldn't do the job. So that put us right on the front line.
Oh.
rebuilding railroad bridges and bridges.
Mm-hmm. So, now by heavy equipment, you mean bulldozers?
Well, big... See, a combat engineers use stuff up to a size D6 cat, see.
Mm-hmm.
That's a medium-sized cat.
Okay.
We went up, we had D9s.
Oh.
And we had cranes with 80-foot booms on them.
Oh, my gosh.
And
that's what you were in charge of?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And we, one time in Korea, we got hit there by where we was at. I mean, knocked a bridge out, knocked a pillar out. Mm-hmm. On the railroad bridge. Main traffic from southern Korea up to where we's at. And they come over to me and they said, ask me how big a crane I had there. I said I got one that could put them beams up there. I mean on one end of them, but I said we just got one big one. And there wasn't another big one in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Had to get it out of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some dressed up Korean standing there looking at it too, the bridge. And he called one of them and said, they always called you Sob. Sob said, why don't you let me put it up? He said, it's Korean, you know. I said, what makes you think you can? He said, I put that one there. So then I went and got our officer.
Mm-hmm.
And come over there and they hired him, put it up there. And he put that up with practically no nothing.
Really?
They mixed it. They were on that big pillar that was out, they just put forms up. They had a catwalk around it for guys to walk in and walk right on down. They just carried that sand on their head on them little round tails and so much water and so much gravel and so much cement and using pieces of bamboo, mixing it in that form while it was going up.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they got ready to put it on there, they piled up and cribbed up underneath there and running rail out there. Why couldn't even pile that wood that high without it folding over?
Mm-hmm.
They run that out there without, they didn't have anything hardly big enough to work with.
Well, that's an interesting story.
It's just, well, I, I got to a point when I was in India that I didn't even doubt what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
The British Army had air base right there by us. And they come up to me and said, they had two big generators, light plants, that they were going to replace out in the desert there. And I said, well, I can haul them out there and I can load them here, I mean at the docks. Because they had big cranes at the docks that could load it. But I said, I haven't got anything to unload it with.
Mm-hmm.
They weighed 20 tons, each one of them weighed 20 tons. And they said, you just get them out there and we'll get them off. So I just took two semis down at the docks and got them on there and went out there, and they dug a hole in the desert just deep as my transport, my trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And I had me back down in with it, so I just had this level with the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they cribbed up under it with rollers and pulled it off by man.
Oh my.
It must have been 200.
Mm-hmm.
Did it by hand.
Well, I guess that's mm-hmm. how they used to do it.
Well, yeah, and they still do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you just learned to trust that when people said they could
do
something.
They do it, why? You do your part, I can do my part. I said, I can get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And get it loaded here and get it out there, but I said, I couldn't get it off.
Mm-hmm.
But they did.
Yeah.
They even drove piling by hand for them bridges. They put the tower up, you know, and have a big rope up over the top. And they'd big weights, they say this is the main weight, and then it'd be a short one up here.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a catch that held this one. When it get to the top, it hit a release and had to fall and hit the piling. Then, well, it falling this other weight would bring that little weight down, and mm-hmm. there's enough Koreans along the railroad track that they just that many get a hold of it and walk up the railroad track with that rope.
Mm-hmm.
When he got the top, it drop it and they'd let loose and it pull it back, and there's that many more to get hold of.
Hmm.
And they drove piling that way.
Now how long would it take them to?
Not very much longer than ours.
Okay. Well, that's pretty smart of you to just trust them that they knew.
We had to. We didn't have nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm. So you would build bridges or repair bridges?
We build bridges and railroad trestles.
Okay.
We built one that we built all up on the ground, lined with the railroad,
mm-hmm.
and it was on railroad cars. And the engineers figured out how much of an arch, and they put this part up here high for this to go over.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured out what the sag would be on the other end. They put this high enough that it would set on the right spot on the other side.
Okay.
And we put them spans across all in one piece. And it worked just perfect. They got it. It just hit over there just exactly where it was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it through there, and we put it up there in probably a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have took them 6 months to put it up there one piece at a time, you know.
Mm-hmm. So your experience in the Korean War was different.
Oh yeah, altogether different.
Okay. Now I don't want to ask which was your favorite.
There wasn't any favorite.
Yeah, right. Because war is war.
Mm-hmm.
Was it more, did you do different things in Korean War that made it more, I don't want to say more enjoyable, but was it more interesting? Or?
Well, no, because it had just got so much more screwed up than it was. Every time I was in the Army and went any different place, it got worse.
Okay, and why do you think that was?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you look back at your experience,
yeah. You could tell that World War II, we was more really organized better.
Mm-hmm.
Got over to Burma, China, and India, it wasn't hardly organized much. And got to Korea, it wasn't organized that much.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Vietnam was worse.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to get me to stay in. I could have stayed in and retired pretty early. But I said, heck, I've been whipped everywhere we've been. And, you know, there I'd been right on the Vietnam deal.
Yeah. It's a good thing you didn't stay.
May not have made that one.
That's right. That's right. I want to go back to World War II a little bit. Do you remember when the bomb was dropped?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were?
I was in India.
Okay. And how did you hear about that?
Well, it came on the radio.
Okay.
In our headquarters.
And do you know what you thought or other people thought?
No. Well, we hadn't heard of it, that they had it, or was making it, and down here in White Sands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't surprised that they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't surprised that they dropped it, or some people was, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's something they could have had for years,
mm-hmm.
if they wanted to spend enough money and kill enough humans.
Mm-hmm.
But they always, just like in World War I, we had gas. Germany had gas. The only one that really had enough nerve to use it any was Germany, and that backfired on them.
Mm-hmm.
So that stopped war for quite a while again, because gas warfare is terrible. Well, now this, look how long it's been since there's been a war taken in the big companies, mm-hmm. countries. Mm-hmm. This atomic deal has stopped wars for a time, but it ain't going to do it forever.
Mm-hmm. When you were growing up, did you know anyone who had fought in World War I?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did they talk about their experience?
Not much. The ones that did much didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Had your father been in World War
I? No, but I had a lot of relation in the Civil War and ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
The Lacey family came here in the United States in 1680.
Oh.
And in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
came from Wales, and
okay,
and they were all military guys,
mm-hmm.
and but I don't know, it's bad any way you do it. So I always had more. What bothered me, the worst things that bothered me was women and children
in war.
Yeah, because here you get a fighting going on somewhere, and here the road's just full of people that can't hardly walk. Some of them are terrible shape, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And women and children, and there ain't nothing anybody can do about it. It's mm-hmm. just, that's the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... The women and children take as big a beating or worse than the soldiers do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you clearly have thought about war.
Do what?
You clearly have thought about war.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe more than... Mm-hmm. than some people.
It might. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they moved the women and children out up there in Korea and put them on some islands there and go around south. And they were separated from their families. The kids, that tall, didn't know where their mother or dad was.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be all in a big camp. That bothers you worse than really the fighting. A man can kind of take care of himself. He's equipped to be there.
Right.
The person that's got the best chance there is the soldier. Because
mm-hmm.
he has got weapons for him and trained for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that were taking the beating was the old folks and women and children.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd try to get out of the road, you know. Some of them are so bad in shape they couldn't hardly walk even, much less get away.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm.
Are there other stories that you have about building things or using equipment?
Well, no, that's about all it was. We just, Burma, up in there, we built, you know, the Burma Road. I've been been over it a couple of times, but it wasn't feasible. You got a little bit over it, too hard to get over it.
Because it was so high, you mean?
Yeah, and too crooked, you mm-hmm. couldn't. And they built a road there that beat Lido Road all the heck. Burma Road all the heck. It was Lido Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's south of that other.
And how would you spell that?
They run a lot of trucks over it. L-E-T-O or something like that.
Oh, know? Okay.
And we run trucks over it, but it wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was south of that other one. And, of course, then by then they had got big airplanes that would get the vital stuff over. And they'd fly them over the hump just like... running a bunch of trucks, you
mm-hmm.
know, just pull them up, load them, but they'd haul about, that C-47 haul about 5 ton, I think.
Okay. I think that Bryce Ramsey talked about that.
Yeah.
Going over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in building the road, the Burma Road or the other road, those were supply roads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Leading into China?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Because we had...
Well, it's actually into Burma.
Okay.
From India to Burma.
All right. Because we had bases in Burma?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. And how would you had heavy equipment to build those roads?
Well, we didn't have it for, I didn't ever have any for that stuff. Mine was for bridges, and you couldn't even get that machinery across there.
Okay, because it was
too big.
Okay.
We had an awful time getting them in, around in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
We'd, a lot of them, we'd load them up and maybe not take them 100 miles, but we'd load them on a ship and take them to another port and then take them back off, because you couldn't get across them mountains with them.
What happened if the machinery broke down?
Oh, we built it.
Okay.
Just like a contractor would hear.